Welcome to Writer's Voice, Susitna Valley writers reading their work.
Greetings, welcome to Stardate Susitna, a somewhat regular show about astronomical happenings visible to the naked eye in the Upper Susitna Valley. I'm Kathleen Fleming. This week we have several things to look forward to: the occultation of Venus, a comet heading north, an increase in the gemmated meteors, and lots of glorious dark sky allowing us to appreciate spectacular star fields and aurora. Details coming forthwith. I like to start with the moon. This week, La Luna is a waning crescent and has been since third quarter last Thursday. Waning means shrinking, and crescent is, as you know, sort of a banana shape, with less than half the near side illuminated. A waning crescent is always to the west of the sun, visible in the pre-dawn sky. Of course, the moon is often visible in the daytime, too. You can see it early this week to the right or west of the sun and a bit higher than the sun's low midwinter trajectory. Occasionally someone asks me what a spectacular bright star is called. They might say that the moon is just below it. I'll say, "When did you see this?" And if they don't remember, I can't tell them the star's name. Regular Stardate Susitna listeners will hopefully understand why. The moon moves fairly rapidly across the background of stars, about 12 degrees each day. So while La Luna may be below Aldebaran one night or morning, she'll be below Castor 3 days later, and then below Regulus about 3 days after that. This is a big part of why the moon is so interesting. It visits different bright stars and planets through the month. This past Friday morning, the thick crescent had recently passed bright Jupiter. I noted that La Luna was nearly a fist width, or 10 degrees, to the left or east of the giant planet. Sunday morning, she had already passed by Mars by the time they rose above our eastern horizon. And Monday morning, you bet I'm going to set my alarm so I can watch the thin crescent not only pass close to Venus, but actually cross right smack dab in front of the brilliant goddess of love. This is called an occultation, and that's our next topic, suitable for Sunday listeners only, since the event will already have occurred by the time this program is rebroadcast on Monday. So, have pen and paper handy. You'll want to jot down some details, such as the times. The last time I observed an entire occultation of Venus was one afternoon in August of 2012, as I was driving back from Homer. I knew the approximate start time, so pulled off into a parking lot, got out my binos for a closer look, and saw Venus, visible to the naked eye even in broad daylight — that's just how bright she is — just to the left of the moon. So slowly La Luna crept closer to the planet. Then the illuminated part of the waning crescent got right up next to Venus, and blink, she was gone. This was a daytime event in Alaska, so binoculars really helped. I drove nearly an hour further, pulled off again to watch the reappearance. The dark right side of the moon is not visible in daytime, but I had the crescent in my binos and waited and waited and waited until pop! All of a sudden, Venus appeared, as if out of nowhere. Very exciting. That scenario is very much what most of North America will get to see on Monday, a daytime occultation of Venus by the waning crescent moon. However, in the far north of the continent, the occultation is in the pre-dawn sky. Dark. Very dramatic. Event timing can be found online. Three dark site locations are given: Dawson City, Fairbanks, and Anchorage. Extrapolating between the Alaskan cities, the moon will gobble up Venus for observers in the Upper Susitna Valley at about 6:35, or maybe 6:36, or even 6:37, Monday morning. Then a little over an hour later, La Luna will just as suddenly spit her out at about 7:47 or 7:48. The whole thing is well worth watching, but personally I find the interaction with the dark limb the most dramatic. It is from watching occultations that centuries ago, astronomers determined that the moon has no atmosphere. Since the bright star or planet does not fade away, its disappearance and reappearance are sudden. Your friends and family elsewhere on the continent should be alerted to the daytime event. Even without binoculars, it will be visible in clear skies. A few examples. In Los Angeles, the occultation begins at 8:03 a.m. In Denver, at 9:35. In Chicago, Venus disappears at 11:17. And for Bostonians, the event starts at 12:42 Monday afternoon. SkyandTelescope.com has a couple dozen cities listed with start and end times. This is a great opportunity to call your loved ones and get them looking up for an astronomical event in the daytime sky. Wow! You can get a lot more info online and see some amazing photographs. I'll just add one more thing. We don't have an occultation of any one star or planet every time the moon goes through its orbit, because her orbit is slightly inclined to the plane of Earth's orbit around the sun. That's why last month the moon passed south of Venus, and next month La Luna will pass a little north of Venus. Yet another reason that the moon is so very dynamic and worth your attention. Apologies to Monday listeners, the occultation of Venus has already happened. Moving on to other topics, want to see a comet? There's one heading north through Virgo right now and is currently only 5 degrees to the northeast or east of Venus. Just barely at the edge of naked eye visibility, finding it will be a lot easier with binoculars. Put Venus in the right side of your field of view, and the comet should be there. You may need to scan just a tiny bit depending on the specs of your binos and what morning you're looking. Gotta be in a truly dark sky for such a faint object to be visible without optical aids. Binos really help. Find a chart of the comet's location and trajectory online. Sky and Telescope is one of my favorite sites, or just do a search for Comet Catalina. The comet and I have the same name, in Spanish, Catalina. Sweet. The annual Geminid meteor shower is coming. Actually, it's already begun. Earth takes a couple weeks to pass through the debris field that results in the Geminids from the 4th through the 17th, with the peak of activity around the 14th, early next week. For several days around the 14th, we can expect to see a great display of 50 to 130 shooting stars per hour. Happily, the radiant in northern Gemini rises early in the evening around 6 o'clock and is highest in the south around 3 or 4 a.m. That would be the ideal time to watch, since meteors can shoot away from the radiant in all directions. So the higher Gemini is, you'll be able to see meteors in every quadrant. I suggest positioning your body facing toward Gemini, then just look straight up. Unlike all the other annual meteor showers, the Geminids are a result of debris left behind, not by a comet, but by a damaged asteroid. This was realized in 1983. That asteroid, 3200 Phaethon, is responsible for the Geminids. These meteors are not very fast, and they do not leave sparkling trails. But most of them are bright because asteroids are made of denser, less friable material compared to comets. And the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere is the winter solstice, December 21st, 2015, 7:48 p.m. Alaska Standard Time. That's the exact moment. Well, everyone in the far north knows that the days get longer after the winter solstice, but did you know that the 21st is most definitely not the date of the earliest sunset or the latest sunrise? Curious? Good. Tune in to Stardate Susitna on December 20th or 21st and find out more. I'm going to end this show with a homework assignment for Sunday listeners. Set your alarm tonight for 6 or 6:15. Be sure to give yourself enough time to get to a spot where you have a good view of the southeast horizon before 6:30. See Venus just barely to the left of the moon. Have binos handy and watch the slow motion feeding frenzy. Then find, with your binoculars, Comet Catalina, just to the left of the moon. Then at 7:45, start watching the right side of the moon for the sudden reemergence of Venus from behind the dark limb of the moon. What a show! An occultation of Venus and a comet all right there in your field of view. Wow. Oh, and let others know. It'll be fun to compare notes afterwards. And watch for the Geminids coming up this weekend. Have a great week and keep looking up.
You've been listening to Writer's Voice, a production of Talkeetna Community Radio. You can listen to this recording again at ktna.org. New contributors are always welcome.